ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So tonight we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, text number 1, Knowledge of the Absolute. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Satta Mana Partha Yogam Yojan Mad Ashraya Samsayam Samakramam Itagyasyasi Tachinu. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Satta Mana Partha Yogam Yojam Madhya Shraya Asamsayam Samagramam Itagyagnasi Tachinu. Word for word, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Lord said, Mayi, to me, Asakta, Mana, mind attached, Partha, Hosanna Prita, Yogam, self-realization. Yunjam, practicing. Mata Shraya, in consciousness of me. Krishna consciousness. Asam Shayam, without doubt. Samagram, completely. Mam, me. Ita, how. Nasyasi, you can know that, that she knew, try to hear. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace of Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality Godhead said, now hear, O son of Prita, how by practicing yoga, and full conscious of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Please repeat. Supreme Personality of God had said, now hear, O son of Prita, how by practicing yoga and full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Omar Girat Ramdasya Chinajana Slakaya Saksu Medamjana Tasme Shigur Venamaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayarupa Kadamayam Danti Swapatantika Vanta Kopa Trubriyascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Anam Pavnevyo Vaishnevyo Namonaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, what we'll do, since this is a long purport, I'll just read one paragraph at a time. Purport. In the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described. Krishna is full in all opulences. and how he manifests such opulences is described herein. Also, four kinds of fortunate people who become attached to Krishna and four kinds of unfortunate people who never take to Krishna are described in this chapter. So the Bhagavad Gita is divided into three parts. The first six chapters deal with Karma Yoga, and the last six chapters deal with Jnana Yoga. But this middle chapters, 7 through 12, deal mainly with Bhakti Yoga. Sanatana Goswami said that compared this like oyster. Oyster has two shells, one on top and one on the bottom. And top one is jnana and bottom one is karma. But in the middle you find a pearl. And that's bhakti. Bhakti is the prized jewel or the best of all types of yoga. And the best way to know Krishna in full. So, Krishna tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is Bhagavan, meaning he has six opulences in full: all knowledge, all wealth, all fame, all beauty, all renunciation, and all strength. Someone in this world may have a lot of money. Someone may have a lot of strength. Someone may be very beautiful. But no one can say they have all these six things in full. If anyone is claiming to be God, then he should be able to exhibit these six things in full. And Krishna came 5,000 years ago. He proved that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead by exhibiting all these things in full, especially his beauty and his strength. And were uncomparable. And Krishna, when he left Vrindavan, he went to Mathura and he fought with the Kamsa, had sent his best wrestlers to fight with Krishna and kill him, Krishna and Balaram. But Krishna and Balaram, although they were small boys, they were only 11 years old when they went to Mathura. But according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they were 1.5 times older. They're 11 years old by birth, but they looked 1.5 times older. So they were 11 is 5.5. They were around 16 years old. But still, they were no match for big, strong wrestlers. And so, before Krishna entered the wrestling arena, Kamsa sent his elephant, the Valyapita, to stop Krishna and kill Krishna. And that elephant had the strength of 100 elephants. But Krishna easily killed him and his trainer and entered the wrestling arena. Then Krishna fought with the wrestlers and killed them, and eventually he killed Kamsa. And he dragged Kamsa around the arena to prove to everyone there that Kamsa was dead. So this is one of Krishna's opulences. He has all strength. But Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but all his energies are included in Krishna. So Vasudev Krishna goes to Vrindavan and killed Kamsa and performed his Mathura Lila and Dwarka Lila outside Vrindavan as Vasudev Krishna, and Balaram expands as Shankar Shan. So in this way, Krishna exhibits these six opulences in full. So Krishna says in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that he can only be known by pure devotional service. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you, can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mystery of my understanding. And he also says the same thing in the 18th chapter. Bhaktyama Mabhajanati. Bhaktimam Arijananti. Anyway, he says, Bhaktimam Arijananti. Yes. Yavan yas chasmi tapataha. Tato mam tapato yanam. Vishite tat anantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And one is in full confidence in me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So, this paragraph says there's four kinds of people who know Krishna, four kinds of people who surrender to Krishna, and four kinds of people who don't surrender to Krishna. So, namam diskritinam udha prabhajante naradama vag priktagyanam ashrim bhava ashritaha. Those miscreants are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. And four kinds of people who surrender to Krishna. Chaturvidha vajante mam yana sukritam arjuna tato gignasu artarti Yani cha matar sabaha. O best of the Bhartas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, desirous of wealth, inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. So, they asked Srila Prabhupada, what if everybody in the world became Krishna conscious? What Prabhupada said, the whole world would become peaceful and happy. But Prabhupada was interviewed by one man on the radio, and the man was known to give people a hard time. So this man, his name was Joel, and he asked Prabhupada, what if the whole world became Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada said, don't worry, Mr. Joe, you're never going to become Krishna conscious. So, we know why. Four kinds of people, they never surrender to Krishna. The Mudas, the Naradamas, the Maya Prakriti Gyan, the scientists, and the atheists. and four kinds of people come to Krishna consciousness: distressed and desirous of wealth, inquisitive, and those who are searching after knowledge. So in either case, preaching Krishna consciousness sometimes is not so easy in the Western countries, in this modern civilization, which is a misdirected, misguided civilization, where people are lazy and prone to bad habits and are not much interested in spiritual life or interested in saying that there is no God and that everything comes from matter, life comes from matter. So devotees still endeavor to preach to people, but we try to find those innocent people, not people who are inimical, because it's offense to preach to faithless persons. So there are people who are interested in yoga, interested in meditation, but they have to be guided and directed in the right direction. So when you meet the devotee, we try to give them a book. Srila Prabhupada was ordered by Bhaktisiddhanta in 1922 that you are a young man, you should preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the English-speaking world. Srila Prabhupada at that time was a follower of the Gandhi movement, which was to try to get independence for India, the country of India, who had been under the rule of the British for over 200 years. So Prabhupada said to Bhaktisiddhanta that we cannot preach until we become an independent country. As long as we're a dependent country, we can't preach. But Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, this is a spiritual movement, has nothing to do with politics. We can't wait for that. So Srila Prabhupada took this instruction to heart and finally came to America to preach Krishna consciousness. And when he came to America, he brought three trunks of books, because Bhaktisiddhanta also told him, if you ever get money, print books, because we can do kirtan. When Prabhupada came to New York, he would do kirtan in Thompson Square Park for 3 hours every day. But that was only heard by a small handful of people. But if we give people our books, the Briya Madanga, that can go far and wide, all over the world. If people get a book and they take it and put it in their home, but people never throw books away. Once they get a book, a hardbound book especially, they will put it on their bookshelf, even if they don't read it. But so the books are like time bombs. Time bomb is set to go off a certain time. So people have got many stories of people who have gotten a book, or some of the family got a book about Krishna consciousness and sat on the shelf for 10 or 20 years. And then out of distress or out of inquisitiveness or whatever reason, they looked at the book and they started to read it and they became devotees. So this is what we want to do. We want to find those people who are favorable, who are innocent, and try to make them Krishna conscious. So this is the chapter, is how we can know Krishna in full. We'll continue purport. In the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul capable of elevating everyone to self-realization by different types of yoga. Sorry, in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. At the end of the sixth chapter, it's been clearly stated that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of yoga, highest form of all yoga. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. Impersonal Brahma-yoti, or localized Paramatma realization, is not perfect knowledge of the absolute truth because it's partial. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. In complete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is ultimate knowledge beyond any doubt. Different types of yoga are only stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness automatically knows about the Brahma-yoti and Paramatma in full. By practice of Krishna conscious yoga, one can know everything in full, namely the absolute truth, the living entity, the material nature, and their manifestation with paraphernalia. Bhakti Mama Bhajananti. What's that? What's that verse? No. No, the verse is fourth chapter. Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam, evam yo veti tatvata, kyatva deham purnarjana, naiti mama iti suarjana. That one who knows about my name, form, qualities, and pastimes does not take birth again in this material world. Tatvata, in truth. So, the last chapter said, yoginam api sarvesham matgatena tratmatena atmana sarvam bhajate yomam samam yukta mano mataha. Of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me all within himself, and rendering transcendental loving service to me, is the most intimately united with me in yoga, is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita. So this is called Krishna Katha. The Srimad Bhagavatam, that is also Krishna Katha. Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita, and the Bhagavatam is the speaking about Krishna. So you have the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam, or the person who speaks the message of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita. So whatever Krishna does is fully transcendental. It's nothing to do with the material world. So the Bhagavad Gita is also transcendental. And somehow, if people read Bhagavad Gita, then they can become, take to Krishna consciousness, because Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita. But this is the Bhagavad Gita as it is. One time in New York, a lady came to Srila Prabhupada, said, "Can you recommend a copy of Bhagavad Gita?" And Prabhupada said no, that there was no bona fide copy of Bhagavad Gita in English. And he said, because the other, if you go to a bookstore in America and you go to the religious section, you'll see 30 or 40 Bhagavad Gitas. none of them are actually touch on the spirit of Bhagavad Gita, because they're written by materialistic people who are materially motivated. Unless one is a pure devotee and is not sinful, then if someone is sinful and someone is only a scholar, Maya Prakriti Gyan, then he cannot give the true meaning of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I reserve the right to be known. So the real knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is covered. They cover these kind of people, and the prophet says they're sticking their nose in other people's business, because they can't give a proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita. And neither, if you read their Bhagavad Gitas, you'll not get a proper understanding. The only Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is gives one the proper understanding, because Prabhupada followed in the line Evam Parampara Paptam, Parampara system, and he didn't deviate from Krishna conscious philosophy. He didn't give his own personal interpretation. He only spoke what he heard from his spiritual master. So therefore, he also consulted the different acharyas, Baldev Vijayabhushan, Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and wrote his purports. So there's no speculation. It may be like this or maybe like that. They don't say that the Bhagavad Gita is the battlefield of the Kurukshetra, represents the body, and the five Pandavas are the senses. Or Prabhupada had a version of Bhagavad Gita written by Dr. Radha Krishna, who was the vice president of India. He said his translations were okay, but his purport, when Krishna says, Manmana Baba Mad Bhakto, they say it's not Krishna. He says not Krishna, but Krishna from within. So he didn't really understand Krishna. There's no difference between Krishna outside and within. Krishna is all pervading. He's in everyone's heart as super soul. And he's also outside and within. He's everywhere. This is the Mayavadi interpretation. They gave Mayavadi interpretation of Bhagavad Gita. And then you may read these other interpretations, and you can hardly understand that Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, or get any idea what it's all about. But so, Prabhupada wrote his Bhagavad Gita and commentary, so no one would be confused about what is yoga. The first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita talks about the constitution of the soul. It says, Deino smin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata deon parapaptir tirasata namuyate. The soul is passing from boyhood to youth to old age, and then taking another body at the time of death. So the soul is eternal living entity. The soul and the body are not the same. The body, when we take birth, it means that the soul has, due to its karma, it has to accept another body. When Lord Chaitanya was preaching to his mother, he told his mother, living entity in the womb, after 7 months, praise the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the fortunate living entities. And that soul can see his past 100 lives, 100 births. So he prays after 7 months, to the Supreme Lord, that he can take the devotional service, not have to take birth again. Because taking birth in the womb is a very suffering condition. So, but then after 7 months, if he prays, he doesn't suffer anymore. But when he comes out of the womb, then he loses his memory and forgets that he prayed in the womb and takes the material life again. So here it says that he's in the first six chapters, up to this chapter, last chapter especially, is a stepping stone to bhakti yoga. In other words, there are indirect processes were very difficult to perform. And most of the time, the yogis are not successful. We know Subari Muni was meditating in the Yamuna for 10,000 years. And when he saw some fish having sex life, he became agitated and broke his meditation, came out of the water, went to King Mandapa in Mathura, and eventually married 50 wives and had 100 children from each wife. So his meditation, he failed. But at the end of his life, he retired to the forest with his 50 wives and became Krishna conscious again. So even Vishwarita Muni, for 60,000 years, he was meditating, but Indra became a little worried and sent Menaka to break his meditation. So in this way, these different yoga systems, they have to have the element of bhakti in them, but they don't bring one to full Krishna consciousness. So the jnanis, they get Brahman realization. The yogis, they get Paramatma realization. But these are not complete. The complete realization is to know Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So automatically, by practicing Krishna consciousness, we don't have to make an endeavor to try to understand the Brahman realization or Paramatma realization. By Krishna consciousness, we immediately understand that Krishna is Bhagavan, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without a doubt. We can take a poll, how many people in this room have any doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Is anybody here and doubts that fact? I don't think so. Because we're chanting his name every day, we're seeing his beautiful deity form every day, we're hearing about him every day. Everything we do in Krishna consciousness is related to Krishna. And we don't think that Krishna is impersonal, and we know that Paramatma feature is also there, but it's not the complete realization. Complete realization is to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Nandiyade Govindam Sarvakara Karanam. So in this way, we want to stress this fact that God is a person. In other religious faiths, they don't want to even talk about it, for the most part. They just simply deny that God can have a form. In the Muslim religion, they think God is formless, naraka, and to worship the devil, demon, deity, the worship of deity is devil worship or idol worship. Christians, they think they don't have any clear understanding of God. They think he's an old man with no face, or they say God is so big, no one can get close enough to see him. They give so many vague interpretations. So Krishna is speaking himself, and we accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna means the all-attractive one. So therefore, the definition of God is no one is equal to or greater than him. So God, many people, there are many cheating people who say they're incarnations of God. But prove, we ask them, if you're an incarnation of God, then you lift Govardhan Hill with one hand. or do you show us your universal form? Arjuna asked Krishna to show his universal form to prove that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If someone can do that, then we'll accept them as an incarnation. Otherwise, we don't accept such people, probably call them rascals, that they imitate, they say that they're God, but they have many cheap followers. We know there was one Pundraka in Krishna Lila. He sent a messenger to Krishna and Dwarka, then said that I'm the Vasudev, and you should surrender your weapons to me, your disc, your club, your lotus, and your conch shell. So when Krishna heard this, all the people in the assembly heard this, they laughed for a very long time. And then Krishna told the messenger, you tell your Pundraka that I'll surrender to him, I'll surrender my disc to his head. And then when Krishna met Pundraka on the battlefield, he looked like Vasudev. He had forearms, he had shark-shaped earrings, he had yellow dhoti, garland, kustava jewel, mark of Shivas. He had all the markings of Vishnu, but it was clearly an imitation. And Krishna said to Pundraka, now I will surrender my weapons to you. I surrender my disc to your head. And he cut off his head. And that was the end of God or Pundraka. So in this way, people get cheated in this way. There's many cheaters. In this world, people want to be cheated. If you want to be cheated, then there's so many cheaters. They're claiming to be God. They're claiming to be incarnations of God. And to give something cheap. Prabhupada said he could have many, many followers if he didn't institute the four regulated principles. No meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. If you don't give people restrictions, then they don't want to take to Krishna consciousness. So we didn't want cheap followers. He wanted genuine followers. And he also wanted to make first-class men. In this world, close Sudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, everyone's less than Sudra. So they asked Prabhupada, what's a first-class man? He said, anyone who follows these four principles, no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. So we'll continue the purport here. In this verse, also the word bhajanti is used. Now the last paragraph of the last verse said, the Bhagavatam confirms the following. Wait, I got the wrong verse. One should therefore, page 122, one second paragraph. One should therefore begin yoga practice as directed in the last verse of the sixth chapter. Concentrate the mind upon Krishna, the Super Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in nine different forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. Lord, therefore, said to Arjuna, Tat Trinum, or hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna, and therefore, by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna conscious person. One is therefore to learn from Krishna directly or from a pure devotee of Krishna, and not from a non-devotee upstart puffed up with academic education. Suplad Maharaj said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevinam Archanam Vandam Dasyam Atmani Vedanam. There are 9 processes of devotional service. And of these 9 processes, Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, are the most important. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, he traveled all over South India and preached Krishna consciousness and made people Krishna conscious. When he came upon the Tathagatas, who were a sect of from following the line of Madhvacharya, and he asked them how one can attain perfection of life, and they replied, by following the Vanashram Dharma system. Now this is not totally wrong, but the Vanashram Dharma system, just someone follows the Vanashram system but does not become Krishna conscious, and the Shravanam Eva Kevalam is simply useless waste of time. But one should follow the Vanashram system and also practice Bhakti Yoga at the same time. And Lord Chaitanya stressed the fact that Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, was the best way to attain perfection in this life, in this age of Kali Yuga. So we know Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days to live, so he retired from his family life, gave up everything, went to the bank of the Yamuna, sat down to hear from Sukadeva Goswami, who was the self-realized soul, for this Srimad Bhagavatam. So he gave up eating and drinking. He didn't eat or drink water for 7 days. And because he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he was not disturbed. So this was, and all the sages there, they also heard with rapt attention, which means that you hear with the pure in your eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And when they were listening, when they were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, you could hear a pin drop. It was so quiet, and they weren't sleeping. There wasn't any sleepers that we know of, like we have today, because Yoga Nidra got the benediction that people can sleep in the Bhagavatam class. But they were hearing with rapt attention. And Maharaj Parikshit heard with rapt attention. In this way, he became perfect in the first Shravanam Kirtan or Shravanam hearing. And Sukadeva Goswami was perfect in chanting. So in our daily activity, we should try to hear with great care and attention. For Bhagavatam class, we shouldn't think we have something better to do during Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada instituted this program because he wanted everyone to hear the Bhagavatam. And here, the speaker of the Bhagavatam will read the verse and purport and then give his realizations on the purport. So, person who's giving Bhagavatam should be an advanced devotee who we want to hear from so we can also advance in Krishna consciousness. And this morning we heard a very nice class given by Indraduna Swami. So he had a lot to say about the verse and purport and give you a lot of Krishna conscious philosophy. So by hearing, it's purifying the heart. We know, nasta prayashu abdeshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama sloke bhakti bhavati naistiki. By regularly hearing Bhagavatam, all his troubles in the heart becomes practically destroyed. So to get ourselves out of the mud of the modes of passion and ignorance, we have to hear on a regular basis with great care and attention, which may be hard to do, but we still have to struggle to try to hear on a daily basis. In most temples around the world, all the devotees come to all the morning programs. Here we have a big temple, so it's hard to keep track of everyone. People live in different ashrams, people live outside, so not everybody attends the morning programs. But generally, in most temples, everybody attends the morning program unless they're too sick or they have stay up late one night to late night preaching program, then they may miss once in a while. But otherwise, everyone should understand the importance. Rupa Goswami says to follow the rules and regulations only for the sake of following them or acting whimsically spoils one's Krishna consciousness. So it's very important that we try in the neophyte stage to not think where Prabhupada said, don't think you're a better Paramahansa than your spiritual master. So Prabhupada would even go and listen to the classes given by his disciples. So we're not a sannyasi or guru, and we're not preaching all over the world, and we're not uttama adhikari, then we should try to not deviate, but come to the programs and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, when we're chanting japa, we should try to hear the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the last chapter, we talked about the mind, how the mind is all so hard to control. But we should try to absorb ourselves in hearing the holy name, because Krishna is non-different than his name. Krishna's name, form, pastimes, qualities, they're all on the absolute platform. But it says, Atashri Krishna Namadi, Namaved Indriyani, Sevamukha Hi Jivado. The question is raised, with material senses, how can we chant something spiritual? This is a question in the prayers of the personified Vedas in the 10th canto. So actually, we can't hear and chant properly with material senses, but we can develop our senses, purify our senses. And with purified senses, then you can chant. Even Prithu Maharaj said that one tongue and two ears was not enough, and we need hundreds and millions of ears and tongue to chant properly. And also, Rupa Goswami said the same thing. One tongue was not enough. We have to have millions of tongues, millions of ears to chant properly. And the gopis, they condemned the Creator. They said the Creator is a dunce because he only gave us two eyes with eyelids. And because we have eyelids, then we can't see Krishna constantly. So this body, mind, senses is not very, hampers our Krishna consciousness. But if we purify our senses, purify our mind and consciousness, come to pure goodness, the mode of passion, ignorance is always prominent, but there's the mode of goodness. From the mode of goodness, we should come to Shuddhasattva, or pure goodness. And when you're in pure goodness, you can come under the influence of Yoga Maya. Now we're in the influence of Mahamaya, some of us are. But when we become Krishna conscious person is under the influence of Yoga Maya, and he can't think of anything but Krishna. So all instructions, the main instruction is always think of Krishna and never forget him. And that is the fountainhead or the rule of the root of all other, or the basis of all other instructions. And to always think of Krishna is not so easy in the conditioned state. But the pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, he could always think of Krishna. It said, we read in the Bhagavatam verse a few days ago, even while sleeping, one can think of Krishna. So the rest of the purport, we'll read the rest of the purport. To hear about Krishna from Vedic literature, or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita, is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as the best wishing friend, purifying the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. This way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotee, he becomes fixed in devotional service to the Lord. By development of devotional service, one becomes free from the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus material lust and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness. Because becomes enlivened by devotional service and understands the science of God perfectly. Thus, bhakti yoga severs the hard knot of material affection, enables one to come at once to the stage as ashrayam samagram, understanding the Supreme Absolute Personality, Godhead. And this is confirmed in the Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 17-21. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or his devotee in Krishna consciousness can one understand the science of Krishna. So this is important that we not only practice Krishna consciousness, but we get the mercy of the pure devotee, hear from the pure devotee. We can't go directly to Krishna. If you want to meet the Prime Minister of the country, you can't go directly to the Prime Minister. You have to go through his secretary or representative. In the same way, no one can approach Krishna directly. We have to go through his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. And this way, Srila Prabhupada told his followers that if they followed his instructions, chanted 16 rounds, followed the four regular principles for their whole life, they would go back to Godhead. And he said he had the key to the back door to get people, get his disciples into the spiritual world. So this is required, and the mercy, you have to get the mercy of the pure devotee, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Narakinda Gopi, Ayams to Vams, the Sayasha, Vandega Roshi, Charanar Vindam. So, we pray every morning that if you please Krishna, if Krishna's pleased, then his devotee's pleased. When devotee's pleased, Krishna's pleased. So we should act, always be mindful that we're representing Srila Prabhupada, we're representing our spiritual master, and we should always act in a Krishna conscious way and not be deviated. In this modern age, modern technology, it's very easy to get deviated. As soon as if you have a laptop computer, as soon as you push the wrong button, you see the wrong thing, and then you get distracted and thinking that's something interesting, but it's not Krishna conscious. So we can get distracted in so many ways, but we should try to spend our time. Vaisheshika Prabhu wrote a nice book called Family Business, and he stressed sadhana. He said that everyone should show up for the morning program, and by good sadhana, then one can perform all those other activities in Krishna consciousness, whether it's preaching or doing deity worship or cleaning the temple. If one has good sadhana, a strong foundation, when they build a building, first thing they build is the foundation, and that takes the longest time. Because if the building has a good foundation, then it's less likely to fall down. So we have to have a good foundation in Krishna consciousness. which we stressed already, that one should attend the morning program as much as possible and read Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, all these books for us to read, and he said austerity or tapasya means to read for 1 hour every day. And if you can't do that, then you can read for 4 times, 15 minutes for 4 times, or you can listen to something, some narration on the recorded Prabhupada's books. But this way, you should read all of Prabhupada's books. Said if you don't read every word of the spiritual master, then you'll become lazy. And Prabhupada said that our temples are not for lazy, crazy people. So we shouldn't become lazy. We should try to spend our time properly so that we can advance in Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, Krishna consciousness, starting by we develop a little faith, then we associate with devotees, then we take initiation, bhajana kriya, then we come to the stage of nartana vritti. So nartana vritti means we give up all unwanted things. And when one is free from all unwanted things, then advancement becomes quicker, and then you go through the stages of nista and ruchi, asakti, and bhava. So Krishna says, tesam satya yuktanam bhavatam, what's that verse? Tesam nidami muni yogam cham. So he says he gives intelligence to those who adore to me with love and devotion. I give the intelligence to come to me. So in this way, we can become Krishna conscious and Krishna will help us to serve him and develop our love for Krishna. This is the real goal, to develop our love for Krishna, nothing short of that. Only by hearing. So hearing is the beginning process. Hearing should always be there. We should always try to hear as much as possible, be absorbed, especially in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a place for bhajan. People shouldn't come here with any other idea except to do bhajan and perfect your lives and go back home, back to Godhead. So there's many more things to say about these verses. You know that Prahlad Maharaj also became a pure devotee by hearing from Narada Muni while he was in the womb of his mother. So many cases where people hear from the pure devotee and became pure devotees in that way. Hare Krishna. Anybody have any questions, comments? Do we have a microphone? Anybody have any questions? What he always says, you give it to him.
You should probably take it for class. You mentioning that the fetus at 7 months can remember the promise that the soul has made to God that he never forgets.
I can't hear you. You got to speak in the microphone.
Okay. The fetus in the womb at 7 months old, you mentioned.
Yeah.
That the soul is saying to Krishna that I'll never forget you. And why is it, if he's made that promise, that Krishna doesn't allow him to remember thereafter the promise that he's made? And from Krishna comes remembrance, forgetfulness, etc. So when the soul makes that promise in sincerity, why doesn't Krishna allow him to keep that promise by remembrance?
That's a good question. Well, I know is that you get pious at Sukriti. And according to Sukriti, then you again take the devotional service by remembering the womb. You don't remember immediately, but you, as you become mature, then you will again take the Krishna consciousness. But because the baby has no intelligence, the baby can't remember. So the birth is so traumatic that there's no chance that the living entity in that condition will remember, unless he's a Sukadeva Goswami or Prahlad Maharaj. They could have full consciousness even while they were in the womb. An ordinary living entity is not possible. But it's service. So they're getting their spiritual bank account. Spiritual is developing. So we can only hope that when they grow up, they will take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's the laws of nature that when you take birth, you're in a form that you can't remember. You have no intelligence. From age 1 to 5, children, they're like animals. They have no intelligence. So they can't be, they don't know anything. That's just by nature's arrangement. But Krishna can do anything, so if he wants someone to become Krishna conscious, even at birth, that's possible. Like Narada Muni was only a 5-year-old boy, but he became Krishna conscious. Dhruva Maharaj also, at 5 years old, became Krishna conscious. So those who have Kripa Siddha, or get the mercy, they can attain, become Krishna conscious even at an early age. Next.
As we come in Krishna consciousness and we read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam become and we join the movement. And when we join the movement, we get different type of services. So when we are engaged in different type of services and we have no time to think about Krishna or read Bhagavad Gita or listen Bhagavatam, so what we can do when
I don't think anybody has that much service. They can't. But if you're temple president or your manager, that's also Krishna conscious. Prabhupada said whatever service you're doing for Krishna, if you're doing banking or doing this and that, it's not for your sense gratification, then you're also, it's one of the 9 processes of devotional service. You're also remembering Krishna. So it's not that you're in Maya by not, if you don't get, can't study one day or can't read, or but everyone must chant 16 rounds, no matter who they are. Everyone must attend the morning program. No one has so much service he can't do that. But during the day, we should fill up our day. Prabhupada want everyone in Vrindavan to do 8 hours service. And even in the summertime, when it's extremely hot, people, it's difficult to do an 8-hour service. So the idle mind's the devil's workshop. So if we don't have service, then our mind will wander and we may end up leaving Krishna consciousness. So we have to be physically engaged until the point where we can become like Haridasa Thakur and sit and chant to 324 hours a day. If you can't sit and chant 24 hours a day, then you have to have some practical service that's required. But the service shouldn't be so strenuous that you can't read or do other things at the same time. I don't think anybody has that problem. You have that problem? Too much service? You have too much service?
Hare Krishna, not too much service. Sometimes we are observing our service, then we have enmities with devotees, or this sometimes temple commander, he asks someone to do something, then people think that he is my enemy and this one. So what what do I feel then during that time?
What?
And people think that you are my enemy, that you are instructing me to this and do some seva, and he doesn't like to do seva, and he feels that I am his enemy, that's why he's harassing me, or he doesn't allow me to
anyways, do seva. If you have, if you chant properly, then you'll have a good service attitude. And whatever you're asked to do, you'll be happy to do it. If you have a good service attitude, if something's required, emergency service is required, you'll be happy to do it. If you're in a grudging mood or unhappy when someone asks you to do service, then you don't have the proper service attitude. Then you're still in the mode of passion and ignorance. If you're in the mode of goodness, Brahma says, we need you to clean the temple. You say, oh, that's very good. Let me go and clean the temple. It's like someone found that no one was cleaning Prabhupada's rooms when he went on the morning walk. So the devotee said, well, that's a good opportunity for me to do some service. The devotee should be eager to get as much service as possible, to do as much service as possible, not to try to avoid service. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai.